This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. Russia crisis. I follow the reporting from Europe. Russia's economy has plunged in its worst crisis for three decades in the country battered by Western sanctions. The Russian finance ministry predicting a 12% collapse in GDP this year. I go to Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, who's been my guide these weeks of Russian collapse again and again in new fashion to me. I didn't know an economy collapsed like a house of cards that goes in slow motion, one card bending, then another card bending, and then a level down, a crash. Because we have not only the Russian economy gross domestic product collapsing, but specifically, the highest-end shoppers in Moscow are no longer given an opportunity to look away from the collapse and buy something very expensive from Europe because those shops are closing, not chains. The highest-end are closing. Michael, a very good evening to you. You saw this many weeks ago, and we started talking about it before the invasion. What we're talking about is a 12% collapse, which I translate into a severe depression, as in years of damage. Do I read that correctly? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening to you. Indeed, it is correct. And there are various estimates. The Ministry of Finance says 12%. The Central Bank of Russia says 12% decline this year, 3% decline next year, and on and on and on. Yesterday, Janet Yellen, our Secretary of the Treasury, gave a range of estimates from 12 to 15% contraction in Russia. This is huge. And now the European community, their research institute, published a very, very interesting report, which shows that there will be up to 15% decline in GDP, in gross domestic product. But in addition to that, because the imports are declining and because the costs of imports will be much higher now than the prices of Russian exports, then the total decline in real incomes will be, fasten your belt, don't fall off your chair, the total decline in real incomes will be 29%. 29%. John, 29% is the Great Depression, yes, in the United States from 1929 to 1933 with huge unemployment, with soup kitchens, with a total devastation.
The extent of the damage is years ahead of us then. It's not something that could be repaired, say, ceasefire tonight. The repair would take some time because there's a lack of confidence, there's flight of capital, there are people leaving the country, the best educated people leaving the country. And this, I read most recently in the Moscow Times, new car sales in Russia sank by over 78% in April. That means that Russia is turning back from the 21st century prosperity that it's known since the end of the Soviet Union and beginning to look like the Russia I visited in 1985, when the only thing that wasn't tawdry were the uniforms on the police that I met in Red Square.
Yes, and indeed, it is a long, long depression. And that's the worst of it. So it's not just like we had during the COVID, what they call the V-shape contraction, when the economy goes down and immediately suddenly goes up, and that's it. We had a short-term loss. No, this is a long process. And now the central bank itself makes a projection that this year investment will decline from 30 to 34%, which means that years ahead there will be an impact of this, because when investment declines, there will be less production in the future, less technology, and that's, of course, because they cannot get all these imports because of the Western sanctions. Construction. Construction is a very important thing because that's where the livelihood is, with jobs and people get housing. Construction this year is projected to decline by 33%. So it's across the board. And it is long, and this means that every year will be, even if it will become stable, since it will be at the depths, it will be in the hole, it will not be coming back.
Michael, you listened very carefully to the Victory Day speech given by the President of Russia, Vladimir Putin. The concern that I was told to watch for was a threat of nuclear weapons or full mobilization, or we're going to declare war on Ukraine. And I was also told to watch for the doomsday plane flying over Red Square. You heard something else in that speech, something that the Russian people heard about their economy. What was Mr. Putin saying that tells the Russian people the facts that we've just outlined are coming at them now, and then he's aware that they're feeling this collapse?
John, I'm not smarter than all other people, so I expected the same thing. I expected that he will double down, and it was totally different. He told people a different story, which his own people already on television everywhere told for several days. It's a new story. They're saying that it is the war for survival because he didn't mention Ukraine, not once. He didn't mention Ukraine. They were talking about that Russia prevented an attack, that the West for years planned an attack on Russia. It was 48 hours, 72 hours before they prevented, they preempted it, they attacked Ukraine because it was supposed to be via Ukraine. Ukraine was supposed to be kind of the front for the NATO, and it is a matter for survival for them, and it is a long war ahead. Tighten your belts. Things will get worse before they get better, if they ever get better, but it is a war for survival for Russia. So it's a totally different story. It's a story of long, bad years ahead.
So what we're looking at here is, it's almost a sentimental journey into the 20th century. We're looking at turnip soup and people with no clothes for years, bartering between families. Does that mean hoarding's underway, Michael? Would he have acknowledged that in Moscow and other cities?
Oh, hoarding are on the way, and people are buying essentials. They're buying buckwheat, which is kind of a national staple, sugar, bread, grits, anything they can get, and they store it, and because hoarding because of inflation, and hoarding because they expect shortages.
And the Russian Central Bank, can it do anything? It's been releasing money. It's been financing the collapse or the troubles at the bank. Does it have any tricks in its toolbox left?
All they have to do is to bail out in rubles and in whatever dollars remained. The latest statistic from the Russian Central Bank is that they lost another $14 billion from their what's left of their foreign exchange reserves because they were bailing out banks. They were helping some companies to pay external debt, but they're running out of ammunition, and they will just, as I said, they will keep the banking system afloat, so when people come for liquidity, for ruble liquidity to the banks, the central bank will provide it because they're afraid of the collapse, the domino type collapse of their banks.
Michael, just a few seconds left. Can we anticipate that the Russian foreign reserves that are held overseas are not going to be returned to Russia in any event because they'll be used to pay for the reconstruction of Ukraine? Is that being talked about?
It's been talked about. The lawyers and the Western governments are looking for a legal foundation. But generally, one way or another, I wouldn't expect these reserves to be returned in the near future.
Michael Bernstam at the Hoover Institution, my guide into the collapse of the Russian economy. This is a tragedy that will darken a whole continent, two continents, going forward, no matter the resolution in Ukraine. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.